Because the focus should be on God. The focus shouldn't be on the prodigal son. Because it's about who God is, and because of who he is, he's so tender, he's full of kindness. How bad shape we are, we can run to him. That is the plight of the prodigal son. He was really in bad shape. If you know this whole story, he kind of like asked the father, "Father, can you just divide the inheritance?" In the Jewish culture, basically, you say, "Father, go and die now so that I can get your inheritance." And he's not even the eldest son. He's the youngest son. So he has committed the greatest of the greatest crime in the Jewish culture, wishing the father would die. So he went there, squandered all the money, sleep with pigs for Jew. Wow. And he wished that he can eat some of the pig star food. And talking about how deep the pit that he went in, the father took him in. That is our God. No matter how bad shape you are, you can always turn to him because he will not turn you away. He's tender. He is kind. He is full of compassion. That gives us the confidence. And when you go back, if you are in bad shape, and you don't turn to God, what else can you turn to? That's precisely what's happening right now to many believers, that we really have to pray for them. Not just pray for them. We have to tell them a correct picture of who God is so that they will turn back. Because many are disillusioned, many are disappointed because they have a wrong picture of who God is. They have a wrong picture of what the church is supposed to be. So that they will run back to God. Because running away from God is not going to help you to pick yourself out of the pit. The second is God of tenderness. Let's turn to Luke 15. Luke 15. I'm going to read quickly. I just want to emphasize on a few verses. It's so powerful. So powerful. Because the story is the sons asked the father for inheritance and then he left and he squandered all the money and bad shape and storm comes and so on. Let's read from verse 14. Luke 15, verse 14. I'm going to highlight four aspects of who God is, about his tender kindness, his tender mercy, his tenderness. Okay, verse 14. But when he has spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and they began to be in want. You begin to realize. Sometimes it's good. Okay, so they began to realize. He came to a realization. Verse 15. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pots that swine ate. This is unbeliever, lowest to a lowest for a Jewish man. Not just you stay with swine, you serve swine, you want to eat swine food. That's the worst of the worst. It's unbelievable. Okay. Just remember this part about staying with swine and eating swine food. Because I'm going to tell you about the kissing part later. Because the father still kissing. Me, I'm not even a Jew. I do eat pork chop. If me say, can you stay a little bit further, bathe first, we can kiss later. No, kiss is that, not, I mean, it's the intimate embracing of the son. Okay, let's go to verse 16. Verse 16. And no, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, listen to this. He's going to repent. Ask you a question. I always want to ask, so that you think. Ask you a question. Has he repented to the father yet? Face to face. Not yet. Not yet. My point is this. You need to remember this. My point is this. If you don't dare to run to God, how can you seek for sincere repentance? A lot of time we don't even dare to run to God because we think that God will reject us. Yes, he's sincere. He realized that he was wrong. But he has to run to God first. Amen? See, a lot of time we have to run to God first. It's a lot of time I don't dare to run to God. I have to wait for 2 weeks later and say, God, are you okay? Are you okay? Yeah, okay, can I tell you something? I'm sorry for what I did 3 weeks ago. Then God will tell me, you should have come 3 weeks ago, not now. No, I'm kind of worried that you will consume me. So I won't consume you. You should come to me. Because we don't have confidence, we wait. We wait because I will repent. I need to repent until my conscience is comfortable. before I go to God, before I even realize that if I go to God sincerely, He will forgive me and He will embrace me, He will accept me. Okay, verse 17. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hires, he kind of worked out a script. You know, I read this reminder of the 10 pages confession sheet that I have. Okay. How many of my father's hired servant have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? Verse 18, he's going to think of what he's going to say to the father. I will arise and go to my father and say to him. Three things he's going to say to the father. First one, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. That's the first thing. Okay. True or not true? Have you sinned against the father? Yes. Verse 19. Second thing, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. If you want to judge basing on merit, true or not true? True or not true? We can come to God based on two things, merit or mercy. Unfortunately, a lot of time we go to God based on merit. So based on merit, true or not true? No longer worthy to be called the son. True. Okay, third one. Where's the third one? Verse 19. Make me like one of your hired servants. So three things he prepared to tell the father so that he can get back. See, a lot of time we repent, we come before God and repent, we're trying to negotiate terms. Okay, God, okay, I know I'm bad and so on. Can you, okay, a little bit less money and so on, and so that you will forgive me. Okay, so we negotiate. No, you don't negotiate with God. His forgiveness on you is based entirely on His mercy and grace. There's nothing you can negotiate, and there's no need for negotiation. Verse 20. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, I tell you, just one verse is such a powerful one verse. Review about five things about God that talks about his tenderness. His tenderness. The first one is this. His father, circle the word if you want to. His father saw him. Circle the word saw. Saw him. Do you think it's by chance that the father saw the son coming back? Do you think so? He's like taking a walk, sunset. Suddenly the son came. Aiya, sui zai. Fun lei zuo. Aiya, spoil my whole day. Okay, those who don't understand Cantonese, ask for interpretation. No. Why do I call it parable of the waiting father? The father has never given up on the son. If you read right to the end, you know. The father has never given up. Do you know that God never give us up? A lot of times we ourselves give ourselves up, but worse still, we give God up. He was waiting. He said, where's my son? Oh, he come back already. Like, ain't you? Lose a lot of weight. Oh, yeah, I haven't eat well. You know, yeah, I mean, no, he didn't go away and sin. I'm just saying that he lost weight. Oh, yeah, he come back. That's my son. Wearing the sofa. Yeah, he looks my son, but he lost weight. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my son. You know why I saw him? The father was always waiting for the son to return. That's like our God. He has never given up on the Son. That's how I always tell people, never give up on yourself. Never give up on people. Because God never give up. What's the second one? He saw his son. Saw him. Second, compassion. He had compassion. You must understand, the son committed the greatest of the greatest crime against the father. It's easy to say, well, I forgive, but he's full of compassion. He feel for the son who is coming back. He feel a lot. You know, our God is a God who feels for us a lot. A lot. What's the third one? I love this the best. What's the third one? He ran. You know why this is huge? Remember, if I rename the parable, I call this a parable of the waiting father or the parable of the running God. Who is the father? God, isn't it? Amen? Who is the father? God. Search through the scripture. I challenge you, encourage you, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. There's no one place where the Bible says God runs. There's no one place. God does not need to run. In the Bible, when you run, it's a sign of your losing control. David ran away from Saul. Jacob ran away from Esau. They lost control. I'm running because I'm trying to catch my bus. God does not need to run. There's no need for him to run. He's in full control. Always. There's no one moment that he has lost control. There's only one place in the entire Bible that he runs. That's in Luke 15. Wow. He didn't run for some great anointed man, Billy Graham, Ryan Bonke, and so on and so on. He ran for someone who is weak. Wow. Wow. See, a lot of time, including myself, I feel so tired that I don't even have energy to run to God or even crawl to God. But over the years, I realized that when I'm weak, God runs to me. He helped me. He lifts me up. You know, all this year we do, you know, I was posting up the Facebook that this is, we are coming to 13 years doing this house of prayer. A lot of time we thought of quitting, or I thought of quitting. It's like not just hanging in there, you know, it's like about to drop already. I know who sustained me all these 13 years. It's the Lord. Every time he will hold me up, he will lift me up, he will run to me. Wow. Wow, no, but that don't mean that you are, okay, let him run to me, lah. I just wait. No, I'm talking about that. You can have confidence in the Lord that he runs to you. I can tell lots of testimony and story about many times God ran to me, lift me up when I know that I have no more strength. I'm about to quit. God will send people. He will send things to encourage to lift me up. Okay, so it's not, I know, it's a bit, don't be proud. No, even if we do 20 years, it's got nothing to do with we can endure. If it's based on endurance, I quit. It's because of God. Every year to me is like, wow, God, you sustain me. It's not like, wow, no, I tahan another year. No, it's God. He sustained me. And that become a history for me. Every year, I know that God is holding me, is sustaining me. That become a history. It's not until, when are you coming back, Jesus? Please come back now, so that you can find that little faith. No, I know that if he call me, I stay faithful. He will sustain me because he runs to me. Next one. That's God. Say, are you talking about God, intimacy with God? Intimacy with God is about God. If you know who God is, you want to know him even more. Far surpass anointing, far surpass ministry, wealth, everything is God. You get God. They say, intimacy with God, huh? You're not going to be more prominent. You're not going to have more anointing. No, not necessary. But you have more God. Don't you want it? If you don't want, give me. I take. We don't understand. Wow. He ran. Next one. He fell on his neck. That means he embraced. Again, it's a very powerful statement because God does not and he never reject the weak. Never. Remember where this son just came from? Where? Wilderness with the swine. No, exactly nice. You say, yeah, Jurong one quite clean. Well, you can stay there for a week. You bathe until you're clean a few times before I will embrace and kiss you. Wow. He did not. I would have said, son, can you just go and bathe first? Forever we are together. We have lots of time to embrace. Just brushing up, whatever. Clean up. Put up nice clothes. Then we embrace. I can even play music. If you like Kenny G, Ken, not the, see, Father Kenny G is a bit old school. Okay, Adele. What, is it Adele? Yeah, Adele, okay. Sure, we play music, we embrace all we want. Later. That is God. So what do you think? When you fall, bad shape, you run to God, what will God do? You think he will kick you or he's going to lift you up? That is God. That's why you go back to Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. He's gracious, full of compassion. You want to know him. He is gracious. You see, a lot of time we read the Bible and see God react, in verse comma, our immediate response is like, he doesn't seem so kind. No, because we don't really know him. So we have a perception. It's because that is normally the way we react to people. So we kind of like project it on God. No. No, the benchmark is Psalms 145, 8, verse 8 and 9. He is gracious, full of compassion, good to all, slow to anger. He is mercy. No, he is merciful. Every time we get to that, a lot of time we read the parables, Jesus is a bit nasty. He tells the Syro-Phoenician woman to get lost. 3 times or more. Ask her to eat crumbs that are left behind by dogs. She's a bit nasty, right? Yeah, I know she's Gentile, a bit pagan, but that cannot, I mean, this is a bit nasty. It's because my idea and my mindset and my viewpoint of Jesus is not according to what the Bible says. So immediately, my first response is, a bit nasty, right? It's because we don't really understand who he is. So even when we read the scripture, we can interpret the character of God based on our worldview. That's why we need that renewing of our mind so that we have confidence in God and renew how we view who God is and we can approach him with confidence. Get what I'm saying? Last one. He kissed him. It's a sign of embrace. Embrace. No, it's signs of desire for intimacy. There are 3 kinds of kisses in the Bible. Kiss of feet, that's servant to master. Kiss of hand is a friendship. Kiss lips, lip-to-lip kiss, okay, is about intimacy. The Lord always desires intimacy with us. And we repent. Who set the delete button? Who is the one who firstly set the... You know, we always say, yeah, forgive them, we press the delete button. Who do you think is the one who pressed the delete button first? God. God. He kissed the Son. Wow. Wow. And David understood that. There's God of tenderness. Oh, yeah, I know I'm covered too. So today we probably just cover how we view God. Third one. I'm going to cover together his burning desire and his jealous anger. I can sum it up to say the God of love. God of, we need to know how deeply he loves us. How deeply God loves us. I know many people say, I know. I always tell people, you don't know. I don't know. He loved us deeply. I don't know. You don't know. Keep finding it out. Don't settle there. He loved us deeply. You have no idea. I have no idea how much he loves you and me. We do not have. We know a little bit. We do not have. I know people say, how can you say such a thing? No, it's true. We don't know. We have no idea how deeply he loves us. We have no idea, including me. Turn me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. My goal tonight is I'll inspire, I hope, that go back, I want to find out more about God. That is the key. Okay. That is the key. Ephesians 3. Whether you like my teaching or not, that's irrelevant. The key is, I want to find out about God. God of love. We have no idea how much God loves us. He loves us. Sometimes, unfortunately, we, inverted comma, cheapen the word. Yeah, God loves me. Everything is God loves me. But we have no idea how much God loves us. We owe it to ourselves to find that out. I tell you, you feel so confident in who you are. You know why? The Creator of heaven, who lacks nothing, love you. Love you. And he will have given anything to you. He has given you the best already. Jesus. How small can you feel? How insignificant can you feel? How low the esteem can you feel? It's because simply because we don't really, really know deep in our heart there is a God who loves you and me. Then you'll be free from every competition, every striving and so on, because there's no need to compete. I'm always the favorite. And you are always the favorite too. Because God loves you. You are His favorite. I'm His favorite too. There's no need to compete. There's no need to strive. There's no need to prove that I'm more anointed, better, because all that are only function, role. But who I really am is I'm someone that God loves deeply. Full stop. If that's not enough, you will never find your satisfaction. Go and find that out. Why we are all striving in the modern world, even pastors are striving, because we allow our success in ministry to define who we are. No, my success is because God loves me. Full stop. Even there's no more increase, even one more session in this house of prayer, I'm successful because He loves me. No, not just here, not just able to say, not just able to sing. You must get it into your heart. And that's it. Full stop. We are free from every striving. Because God loves you. God loves me. Wow. We have no idea. I have no idea. Take me to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3. I talk about the four. I always say this as the four dimension of God's love. Tell this is huge. Take it back, meditate, and take it back. This is for me, you know, it's your Bible. It's always in the Bible. No, what I'm saying is take these two verses, pray for yourself, meditate, ask God to let you experience what Ephesians 3, verse 16 to 19 says is going to blow your mind. It will blow your mind. It will. Okay, let me read first, then I'll share with you a story after I expound. Okay, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. See, one of the fundamental foundations that we as believers need to be rooted and grounded is love. Love of God. Love of God is vital. We need to know that God loves us. Let's set us free from many things. Trust me, it's true. No, I believe in deliverance. I believe in healing. I used to be involved a lot in deliverance. But I also understand over the years that if you know this fundamental truth, you are rooted and grounded. Not just here, not just able to sing, or not just able to quote a few verses. No, you know in your heart, God loves you. That's it. Full stop. Whether, no, never mind, don't say it. I'll talk about the school, RICS, whatever. That's it, full stop. Doesn't need any more. That's it. You need to know that. I need to know that. Go hard after it. Okay, verse 18. May be able to comprehend, that means understand. You always start with the mind. That means from your mind, as you begin to understand, when you begin to meditate, because transformation begins with the renewing of your mind. So we say, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Paul talked about four dimensions of love: width, length, depth, height. Then you go to verse 19, to know the love of God that passes knowledge. Now he said, more than understanding, you need to know in your heart, or you need to encounter that length, that width, the height, that depth of God's love that passes knowledge. I add, okay, my version, it will blow your mind. It will. If you know God loves you, okay, quickly. Height. Should I not? Okay, never mind. Anyway, I have no time. Okay, I continue next week if I can't finish. Height. What is the height of God's love? Height is talking about measurable. What is the length? Length is talking about time. What is the width? Width is talking about capacity. What is the depth? Depth is talking about the intensity. When you talk about the height of God's love, is that basically Paul is saying, if you can measure it. Psalms 103 verse 11 says this, as high as the heaven from the earth is the love, the measure of God, how much God loves you. You can find out how high. We can even play cheat. Start from level 6. As high as heaven from 6th floor is unmeasurable. That's how much God loves you. You can't measure. It's unending. It can keep going. Okay, length is to do with time. It never ceases. Forever is eternal. Psalm 736 says what? Praise the Lord. His love endures forever. He loves you. Do you know this? He loves you today the same. As 1 billion years down the road, he still loves you the same. Wow. Say, wow. Never increase. No. Hey. Hello. The same. That means he loves you. God's love is perfect. Let me say, never increase. I always say, hey, hello. No, come on. No. Got to stick up the neck for the Lord. Okay, that's the length, unending. And is this lamentation? Lamentation say his love is new every morning. He doesn't give you leftover love. Wow. Wow. Okay. We've talked about capacity. How vast is his love? Psalms 36. David talks about his love covered the sky. That's how vast is his love for you. Go outside and look tonight, cannot tomorrow morning. Look at how vast is the sky. That is the measure of his love. You know, we always say, God, give me all your love. If today he give you all his love for you, you'll be gone. He will crush you. Just like you're asking to drink the entire oceans of water. No, how many oceans are there? Annabelle will know. 7 or 4? Okay, my 4, Pacific, Atlantic, India, Arctic. Huh? 5. Okay, yeah, 5. Why? Whatever. Don't even need just all the Coca-Cola in the world, you'll be drowned. Just imagine you want to drink the entire oceans of water now. You'll be crushed. That is how vast his... Let's say God give you trickery. You say, oh, one more. That's why I always have this statement. Too much, not enough. When he give you more, you say, oh, I cannot take it. Then after that, oh, shook, can I have a little bit more? Cannot take it. No, can I have a little bit more? Then he give you more and cannot take it. His vast. Next one, depth. Depth talk about his intensity. His love for us is intense. He's like a fire. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24. That's why God called himself jealous. He's jealous for our love. He loved us until he called himself jealous. That means he will not share. Wow, you know, like Julia, I won't share with you. No, but I use a guy. Joshua, I will not share your love with me. I want wholehearted love. And many you call your son jealous. Wow. It'll be fun. Yeah, hi, this is my son. Jealous. Yeah, next, in chief, the third son called jealous. Joshua, Joel, jealous. Jealous, yep. It will be fun. No, because of his intensity. Yeah, no. Huh, what's that? Yeah, but I always be jealous. That's good. Yeah. No, that is how much he's so intense for our love. I don't know his love. I know very little. I'm pressing in. That's why one of the verses I pray a lot is Ephesians 1:17-19 and Ephesians 3:16-19. I want to know his love. I got to know more his love. I want now it's funny now, okay? Because many years back I realized about this verse, so I pray and meditate. So I was driving on
ECP, yeah, ECP along the way. So nowadays I drive, I don't turn up music always. So like this few days I have a car and my wife said, how come you don't turn up music? No need music. I'm talking to God. Yeah, so they say boring. Yeah, I'd rather be boring than having music if God talks to me. Okay. So there's one many years back of driving, I was meditating about the love of God in the Luke 11, talk about if your earthly father is evil, if you ask for a fish, will not give you a scorpion. Ask for a bread, will not give you a stone. How much more that the Father in heaven loves you. Suddenly that word comes alive and strike me. And for that brief moment, I realize, just for a moment, how deeply God loves me. I begin to weep. Really, I would try. Thank God I didn't get slain and God knows what he's doing. So I have to pull over to the side of the expressway and I was weeping on at the steering wheel crying. Then the funny thing is the traffic police came. Sir, are you okay? I don't want to respond. I said, don't disturb me. It's God. It's God time. So yeah, I'm okay. I'm fine. So I kind of composed myself. So I feel like I was scolding him. You know? Yeah, why do you come now? You know? Yeah, so. But the key, what I'm saying is this. Pray this. Ask God so that you will know his love. You have confidence. He loves us deeply. It's true. God loves us deeply. Last one. God of fascinating beauty. He is beautiful. God is beautiful. That he will draw. We have no idea. We have no idea. No, I'm nothing against Star Wars fans. I've been watching Star Wars actually every Friday. Go home, I watch. Today is Return of Jedi, right? Okay. Star Wars is weak. If you know the beauty of God. Weak. Children, can I give you a better idea? Go for Jesus, the branch of the Lord. Everything pale. It's true. Try it. If it doesn't work, come and talk to me. I'll pray even more for you. It's true. It is. People say, how can you say that? I am confident he's more. Come on, Jesus. We don't have to make Jesus cool. We try too hard to make him cool, make him fun. No, Jesus is not looking for a cool Christian. He's looking for a hot one. So don't try to culturalize or make Jesus relevant to the culture. He is always relevant. He is the relevant one of all ages. Star Wars will eventually be irrelevant. Lord of the Rings will eventually become whatever. Kenny G is gone. Adele, right? Adele will eventually lose the novelty. But there's one man will always be relevant. You think, who is that guy? Jesus. If you're cool, go after him. That's the most cool one. Don't even need to try. Don't need to market or whatever. Just let him show himself. Sometimes we do a bad job. We brand him, show him, and say, yeah, that's why I'm cool. It's because we try to make him cool, but actually he's hot. He's the one of fascinating beauty. Go and just grow in this five aspects. Or rather make it four. And you will change your view about who God is. No, study the word. Meditate. Pray. Ask God to back up that truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We never want to stop at the way. He's the way to salvation. He's the truth. He's not one of the truth. Jesus is the truth, but we don't stop at the truth. We want him to be live, that we encounter him in reality. Go deep and you will have a correct view of who God is. And you have confidence to approach him. God of gladness, he's a happy God. He's the happy God. That's why we can tell jokes and so on. Okay, he's a God of tenderness. He's a God of love. Both the burning desire and jealous anger. Jealous anger. Last one is the God of fascinating beauty. Fascinating beauty. That's why there's this statement called joy of being lovesick. and the pleasure, not pressure, okay, pleasure of loving God. You know, loving God is a pleasure. Just that we don't have idea. We stop at do's, don'ts, and so on. There is a place, but at the end of the day, it's about relating with someone. God. He's full of glory. I mean, look at all the biblical character where they encounter God. They didn't even say, man, that was disappointing. 2 stars. Or 2 popcorns. No. I mean, they hit off way off the chart. That is God. It's time that we try it. It's God. So the first key that will help us to cultivate confidence in going to God is how we view God. There's five view of who God is. Four: God of gladness, God of love, God of tenderness, God of fascinating beauty. Okay, 10 minutes. I'm going to end with my favorite story. No, I always want to tell these stories because there was one time I talked to a very rich lady. She can walk into any shops and spend $10,000 without blinking an eye. US dollar. So she's talking to me and said, I work, should I not work? She, I feel like I want to smack you and so on. No, I'm just kidding. No. So I was talking to her and I talked about how God provide and so on and whatever. She wasn't moved until I told her this story. She began to weep and cry. I said, wow, that's God. She basically is a Christian. So I call it the potato chip story. One of my favorite because it really changed my paradigm of who God is. This idea of God a lot of times is that I could suffer for him, you know. He's a bit stingy on me. Way to heaven, then I get all the stuff and so on. So about 13 years ago, I mean, 13 or 14 years ago, the Lord spoke to me and my wife, so we resigned. I was a pastor in the church, so I resigned. Okay. So we resigned. We went there for a year or so. So we don't have a lot of money, and so we have to be very careful what we spend. Our pleasure is every Sunday we will go to this place called Barnes & Noble, a bookshop. I don't know whether it still exists. So inside there's this little cafe called Starbucks where we buy the biggest size, venti latte. So we will say one cup of latte. You know, we bring our own sandwich. We took all the magazine to read and so on. And so it's kind of a cheap thrill. I mean, we don't have a lot of money. We can't spend and so on. So that's where we are financially and so on. Not that we are poor, we have to be very careful, okay? We don't have a lot. So that we stay there for a year or so. If you know my wife, she loves potato chips. So outside, I was reminded of the story because Luke bought 2 cans of potato chips. Luke, let me tell you, it was nothing. No, just kidding. Thank you for the chips. Okay. So my wife loves potato chips. So if you're in America, you know that Americans love potato chips, all kind. You go to their grocery shop, you know, it's like huge, big, white, all kinds of potato chips, big pack, small pack, healthy, unhealthy, expensive, not too expensive, and so on. Okay. So every time we go to the grocery shop, I always feel a little bit pressure because my wife will ask me, Kito, can we buy some potato chips, you know. So my mindset is I'm here suffer for Jesus, you know. No potato chips, you know. Anyway, no money. God doesn't care about potato chips. You know. We are here for 1 year, but maybe if I go to Timbuktu or somewhere out there, Swam or so on, I ask God for $1,000, you give me potato chips, no. Okay, so I say no, we can't afford, and so on. But We always have to go to grocery at least once a week. So every time it's kind of like very pressurizing. You ask, you know, you want to, you say your vow in wedding, you know, for goodness, for, yeah. So I say, yeah, goodness. Yeah. So you want to be good husband. So kind of like feel pressure and so on. So I came up with a brilliant idea one day, but actually I don't believe in. I kind of like want to shift the pressure to God. Yeah, so I went to the one day went to the grocery shop. My wife asked me, "Can you buy a small one?" Well, that really painful. No, yeah, small. If you say big one, at least I still have reason to say no. Small one, just small one. So I told the Lord, "I know." I kind of like, well, you know, it's time to use the trump card, shift the pressure to God. Okay, meaning, we trust God, right? Actually, I don't trust one. I don't believe. a man of great faith. See, it's not, never about your faith. It's about God's goodness. Right? I don't really believe. Just want to kind of like, next time come, no more. See, I can always say, do you pray? Yeah. So I told her, well, we can always trust God, right? God provides, isn't it? Why don't you pray? Why don't you pray, okay? We all pray, okay? I never pray because I don't believe, okay? But she had more faith in me. She knows God better than me. So she prayed, okay? She didn't say, I mean, later I asked her, yeah, I pray. You asked me to pray, I pray, okay? So she prayed. Okay, lo and behold, 1 week later, okay, so I went, supposed to go to a meeting, so I was driving to meet someone. So the person said, hey, come, I'm going to pass you few boxes of stuff, okay? I can't remember. To this day, I can't get the figure right. But it's 4 boxes, 6 boxes, or 8 boxes, okay? But that's not the end of the story, okay? So I took the whatever boxes of things that my friend gave me, drive all the way back, give it to my wife, then say, Bill, go and find out what is this about. Okay, then I'm going for a meeting. Guess what was in the boxes? Potato chips. And good potato chips, organic potato chips. We didn't know until we came back. We went to Cold Storage, want to buy. Wow, so expensive. Yeah. See, God, when God gives stuff, He doesn't give leftover. He gives you the best. That's not the end of the story. Okay. From that day onward, we have unending supply of potato chips. It was crazy. No, we're supposed to go in house of prayer. So people call us the house of potato chip. I say, what? No. So we have so much potato chip, we used to put it in the cabinet, right? So much until it drop out. No? So my wife asked, so what do I do? I say, give away. No? How much can we eat? But the supply of potato chips never ceased until the day we return to Singapore. That's not the end. No, because God is extravagant. You know, the Bible said, He will do more than what you ask and imagine, isn't it? Amen? Precisely. So from that day onwards, not just God supply potato chips, supply bread, supply eggs, supply milk, supply the last one, I'm not so happy, cereal. Yeah. So from that day onward, we don't have to buy all this stuff until we came back. There's one time, because so much bread, you know, in America, they don't put what they call preservative. So if you don't finish within 3 or 4 days, it will grow, it become moldy or grow whatever. Okay, so I ran around the apartment giving away bread. Okay, so that this guy is checking the gas meter. So he's quite a senior guy. So I said, sir, do you want bread? He looked at me, it's like this Chinese guy, you know, got tricked me or whatever. So it's really serious. How many can I take? No, I just want to give it. So take all. No, so we have unlimited supply of bread, eggs, chips, milk, cereal. Okay, that is God. It really changed my understanding. You see, a lot of time I think, yeah, He just want me to work with Him. No, don't go home and say, hey, can I have some chips? Don't mind God, BMW lah. No, what I'm saying is this. We don't understand the heart of God. He's kind. He's extravagant. He's gracious. He will give you the best. God will not give you crumbs. He give you the best. You know, people ask me, how can we be extravagant? Know that God is extravagant. I learned to give now a lot because I know that my God is extravagant, because we understand who He is. And now every time we want to give to the poor, we will not buy a leftover or we give away something that we don't want to use anymore, because God does not give me leftover. He gives me the best. So we will always find out, we will buy a brand new one. Sometimes I also a little bit jealous. My wife says, wow, buy until so expensive. Better than mine. Oh. No, that's just a joke. Okay. So because God never give us leftover, He give us the best. Go and wrestle with God. Ask God to put the mark in your heart so that when people ask you or you ask yourself, or the devil challenge you, who is God? I can say confidently, my God is extravagant. He will not hold anything. People can tell me all the stories, oh, God does not provide, so on. You can prove anything you want to. I know God provides. Not just provide, He is extravagant. He will not shortchange me. He will not shortchange you. And with that, I can have confidence. The greatest crisis is going to come in the world. There's only one kind of person that can stand. It's those who have confidence in God. No matter what happened, they know that God is gracious. God is good. God is full of compassion. His mercy temper all His works. We can have confidence. Go and find that out. Let me just say a prayer.